Fran sends her blessings and greetings from the Salvation Army Service and the Corvette Show, where we have spent the last 3 days of our lives in preparation for more ministry and more serving as God leads in different avenues and venues of life. This is very interesting for me to be up here. I have given messages in many, many, many churches, but it's been a long time since I've addressed the congregation at Carlisle Alliance, so that's a privilege and an honor for me. We're looking at Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I'm reading in NIV, and then I'm going to lay it there and work out of my King James. God's word says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Here endeth the NIV lesson. What a wonderful day to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, and to be thankful, but also to be humble and to be seeking and searching and to be raising up petitions and prayers for needs. Because as we live out this thing called life on planet Earth, it can get pretty messy at times. Amen? We are hard-pressed. We can become distressed, oppressed, depressed and overstressed, and if we look at our lives and if we get caught up in the people and the situations and things of life, we can truly say, my life is a mess. But there's an answer. There's a solution for the problem. There is a remedy for the dis-ease of life. And that is the grace and mercy of God, the power and supernatural power and help only found in a bond relationship with Christ. I'm a practical guy. I love practical application of God's word in real and meaningful ways in my life. I don't know about you folks, I need it a lot. And so we can look at this passage of scripture that I just read and we can say, wow, this is a really practical how-to tutorial on how we can get some relief in this messy thing called life. But I don't want you or me or anybody to miss the main refrain of this passage of Scripture. Jesus Christ, in my King James, it's what we call the red letter words. Jesus Christ is speaking and teaching to his disciples and those around him who have ears to hear. And so he is saying action words. He's saying, come unto me. He's saying, take my yoke. He's saying, learn of me, all these things and more. And so we have to understand something here. The message today is not just a how-to and a great little snippet of verses of scripture, but the message today is the power that comes from salvation in Christ Jesus. Because prior to this passage of Scripture, Jesus is calling those others to himself. And he is describing his bond relationship with the Father in heaven. And he's saying, I am in my Father and he in me. We are one and the same Spirit. And I want you to come and claim that inheritance for yourself. I want you to come unto me. I want you to receive salvation, because we can try as hard as we want to. We can read and study and try to hold ourselves accountable. But the truth of the matter is, without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we do not have that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit living and working within our bodies and our minds. We don't have it. What we're doing is we are getting by in our best way, using our intelligence, our intellect, our skills, our experience, and it will all fall short in time. Amen? And so I want you to understand, if you will, that this is a message of salvation first. However, it has great application and meaning for our lives today. Jesus says to his followers, come unto me, action words, not passive words. These are words that call us to make a response of some sort, either in the power of Christ or through our own feeble efforts. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened, it says in NIV, all ye that labor, all ye that travail and are heavy laden. I don't know about you, but I have travailed a lot in my life. And you know, a lot of that I brought on myself because what I was thought was best for me, being number one on my own hit parade always, what I thought was best for me, very often God knew was not the best thing for me. And so there was a resistance, there was a struggle, there was a tension there in that relationship or non-relationship with God that I had. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The craziness of life is an example of a faith issue. It is not about the people. It is not about the circumstances. It is not about the situations and the things that come up against us or that we bump up against. It is a faith issue. And you and I have been given the opportunity to be the agents of change through the power of Christ Jesus. I want you to understand that. Because if you and I get caught up in all the stuff of life, we'll become bitter, we'll become argumentative, we'll become accusatory, and we will love to pass the buck in an instant. It's happened that way since the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve. I always say that's the first time that the buck was ever passed. Well, she gave it to me. Yeah, but you were the one told not to eat. If you and I get caught up in the external things of life, it is a perfect opportunity for us to shirk or shed responsibility and accountability for who we are or are not in Christ. And this is not a malady that just afflicts non-believers. You and I can fall into that in a skinny instant, as I like to say, when we let our flesh jump up and take control and put the things of God aside or on the shelf just for a moment so we can vent and rage and opine and give our 2 cents worth over all the horrible things that are going on in the world. I don't know about you. I cannot watch the national news. Because if I do, I will become frustrated, but inevitably I'll go to the overarching man response and I'll just become angry at all the stuff that's going on. The falsehoods, the injustices. He said that, she did this, on and on and on. That's the stuff of life that drags you and me down to the lowest common denominator, which is the standard of the world. And Jesus said, no, let me be the standard of your world. So Jesus offers an invitation. Come unto me. You're dealing with stuff that's beyond you. Come unto me. Because I will supernaturally charge you so that supernatural becomes your natural state of being and thinking and doing. We need to appropriate that. We as a body of believers need to receive that in our lives as truth and then act it out in faith as if it's already completed. Sounds a little risky, or we can settle for the stuff of life and just be at unrest in the mess. He says, come unto me if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace, not even as the world promises peace. I will give you peace that will pass your human understanding. And I will open the doors of knowledge and insight to you in ways that you've never seen before. Our decision. We have the opportunity to change is our decision. From the beginning, it is what has separated us from the animal kingdom. It's been a blessing and a curse of mankind, our own decision-making, opportunities and capabilities. Jesus goes on and says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Go ahead. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." I don't know about you, but a yoke to me is, I always had a punitive connotation of yoke. It was always this thing. You'd see the guys on the public square, they'd be in a yoke and they'd be punished and open to derision and ridicule in the public arena. Or I would see these burdensome yokes, trudging animals and slaves being paraded from the battleground in yokes and chains. But understand something. In God's economy, the yoke offers structure, discipline, and an opportunity to change and grow and learn. And that's what Jesus is saying to me here in this phrase. He wants you and me to take his yoke upon us and then use that opportunity to learn more about him, of him. Receive it as unto yourself. For your own edification, for your own use, for your own practical application, so that we can overcome the stuff of life that so easily wants to weigh us down. Put up the next slide, if you will, please. I'm not big on these slide things. I don't know about you. I just like to go. Here's a practical example. I love to create word pictures. That's why I don't use slides. I love to create word pictures as I extrapolate and open up the Word of God. But I also go to the farm show occasionally, and inevitably I sit in the large arena and I watch horses pulling sleds with weight, and it's a contest. So I want to put into a word picture in your mind what this yoke fellowship with Jesus Christ might look like. If you have a single horse, he can pull 2,000 pounds, let's say. And you say, that's great. Now you're going to yoke a second horse to that animal, and they're going to work in consort, in tandem, and you say, great, they'll pull 4,000 pounds. But inevitably, as you sit in the arena, that never happens. Time after time, you will see a team of horses working together in fellowship, in yoked fellowship, moving toward a common goal, and they will not pull twice 2,000 pounds or 4,000 pounds. They will pull 5,500 pounds, or they will pull 5,000 pounds or even 6,000 pounds because the sum total of the two is far greater than the best they can do individually. Folks, that's you and me in fellowship with Christ, because it's not just our meager effort. It is supernatural power being yoked to you and me to allow us to do something we couldn't even imagine doing in and of ourselves. And I don't know about you folks, that gets me excited. Because if I have to depend upon Pete, I am in big trouble. Always have been, always will be. And sometimes when I go off half-cocked thinking it's all about me, God will remind me. And he'll let me stew in the mess a little bit longer. A little bit more suddenly, he gives me what I call pop quizzes in my life, something you cannot prepare for, you cannot study for. We could always do well on the test, amen? The teachers always talk like this. Class, next Friday we're going to have an English test. It will be on chapters 3 and 4. I want you to study and prepare. Good, got it. But when you're in high school and Sunday night football is on, and you know you should be looking over some stuff, but you really want to watch the two games that they show back to back, and you walk into class on Monday, class, same teacher, put away your books, get out a pencil and paper, we're having a pop quiz. Oh, I hated them. Because you and I can't prepare for the pop quizzes in life, but that is the stuff that God gives us to build us, to grow us, to equip us to be more like Him. But we can't do it separate and apart. We have to be yoked to Him. Jesus says, come to me, settle in, be part of the kingdom, be an heir to the kingdom, be part of my family in yoke fellowship. He goes on to say, if you do this, you will understand as you get to know about me, I am not the God who wants to hammer you, who wants to put you down, who wants to punish you and teach you a lesson because you're so bad. He says, no, I love you in spite of your mess. I want to be the God who comes and surrounds you with my love because I love you more than you can even love yourself, Pete Einstein, and you're so conceited you've always loved yourself more than anybody else. He says, if you learn of me, you're going to find out I am meek. Oh, what a word. When I'm in the prison, I'll say, okay, guys, when I use the word meek, what's it sound like? Without a hesitation, a chorus of voices, weak. And then I teach them the meekness of Christ. And you go back to the original language, in Aramaic, it means extraordinary strength under the control of God. Meekness. Whoa. Different script in our minds when we understand the root of the word. And he says, I am meek. I am lowly in heart. I am humble. I am tender. All the things that guys especially go, because we're not used to that language. But he wants us to be tender in our hearts. He wants us to soften our hearts, to renew our minds, to start thinking and speaking and acting in different ways than we ever were able to do on our own or by ourselves. And when you make this decision, he continues, to find out who I am, to come to me, to have a bond fellowship and personal relationship with me, you'll find out more of who I really am, and you will find rest in the mess. You will find rest for your souls. How many would like to find more rest for your souls in this day and age? I think a lot of us would, because we're so busy doing stuff. We've got the kids and the games here, and we've got the appointments here, and the work schedule here, and the social schedule here, and the vacations and the bills, and on and on and on. And then we have our heralded newscast to tell us all of really what we need to know, in their own words and their own mindset. We have such a great opportunity to maximize our own feeble efforts through the supernatural power that only exists in relationship with Christ. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." 2,000 years ago, he would say to his disciples and to those around him who were hanging on his every word, he would say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light as compared to the rules and the regulations and the laws of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, who not only take the Mosaic law to the nth degree, but add little tidbits here and there to benefit themselves and to put the common man down even more. But in this day and age, we can say, hey, Jesus says to you and me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, compared to all the mess that you see in the world around us. the trials, the tribulations, the sex mess, the excesses, the cheating, the lying, the stealing, the inactivity of people who have been elected to do certain jobs in our society and in our government. God's bigger than it all. He's sovereign. He's in control. Did you ever think when stuff happens to you? I used to think this. Bad stuff would happen to me because I'd be on a roll and doing really well in my own mind and in my own life. And then something would hit me. And of course, I always had Jesus up on the shelf for dire emergencies only. You bring him down like a genie in the bottle or like some cosmic vending machine. You put in your quarter, pull the handle and say, okay, give me the goodies. And then you'd put him back up there for the next time and keep going along on that long and winding road that the Beatles wrote about. That was me. But you know something? It doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be that much work. He said, yeah, you're going to go through growth. You're going to go through change. You're going to be transformed from the inside out. It's as if we were an old rag and he was weaving new fabric of silver and gold threads from the inside of our being until it shows on the outside of our visage and who we are. This is that relationship that only he can give. This is the fruit of salvation over time as you and I choose to be accountable and responsible and refuse to be a victim and see ourselves as a victim and then fall under our own shortcomings and under the hammer and anvil of everybody else around us who has no clue as to what they're doing anyway. So here's the practical application of a call to salvation through the Word of God. I hope it means something to you. As Jim said, I hope you get fired up. I hope you get excited, because if you don't, you're going to fall victim to the same malaise that has been dragging people down for centuries. And the division has just been heightened or exacerbated right now by forces pulling against the Spirit of Christ in our world. Understand something. This is spiritual warfare. This is a battle in the heavenlies that's come down to earth to seat itself in the lives of men and women and children. This is an attack. Don't get mad at your favorite, unfavorite politician. Don't get mad at those people that shouldn't be in office. Don't get mad at the ones who want to kill us and hate us. I don't let them into the house and have them sit down with the knives ready. But having said that, don't let the stuff of the world take you away from the main refrain of Jesus Christ. It's not as if God watches all this stuff and goes, whoa, man, I didn't see that. I didn't see that coming at all. Jay, I hope you can handle that, man. That's not who he is. He knows. He loves us. He cares for us. This is prophecy being lived out and fulfilled in our time and in our lives. If we keep it and put it in proper perspective, we can be cautious, discerning, aware, but we can also be excited. And we can be expectant. If we say what we believe is really real, then we know in whose hands we're in. We know our destiny. We know how it ends. And we know that we, having relationship with Christ, have the ultimate victory. So in closing, let me just say this. I pray that you look for practical application of Scripture as you read through God's Word, whether it's Old or New Testament. And I pray that you are spurred to put it into some sort of action, into some form of service, if you will, so that you can be truly the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. But understand, it begins with relationship with Him, stepping out in faith, and then putting wings to the Word of God. Amen. Thank you.